Welcome to Pickle Me This, the officially unofficial podcast for Rick and Morty on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. I'm your host, Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today we're covering Season 4, Episode 9, Child Rick of Morty. Here's Aaron with the recap.
Jerry has decided to inflict upon his family mankind's ancient enemy, camping. But en route to ripping a fat bong hit off Mother Nature, Rick is forced to take responsibility for fucking a planet. And I mean really fucking it. Rick is compelled by Beth to care for a suddenly numerous progeny. Jerry retreats to the woods to found a primitive society of unproductives, and a literal god gets involved in a paternity challenge with Rick, while Summer and Morty just try to get high and play video games.
All right, Aaron, it's Child Rick and Mort. What'd you think of it?
I have not seen Children of Men. Right? Or is it Children of God? So I don't know I don't know if there's any hidden allusions to this, but I liked it a lot as a person who's a fan of camping, but also recognizes it's a fucked up, pretty dumb hobby. It's a rare episode where I kind of felt a little kinship for Jerry. You know, the man's just right on his s'mores technique. I'll fight people about it, but every once in a while, a broke clock is right. It happens twice a day, and it happened at least once in this episode. But yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. Like, there's a lot of things I think are borderline canon stretching, and like Rick getting literally beat up in his physical fight with God, I think is interesting. And like a lot of the gags were really funny. I thought there's a lot of sly commentary and humor about the engineered society that, you know, kind of almost pre-lampoons what we just saw on Westworld season 3. There's another hot Dan Harmon original song, Let's Go Camping.
Sure.
I think this is the first appearance of Rob Schraub, in a voice role. He was, got the Zeus God.
Okay.
What is a bargain basement discount Yahweh and all of the voices of the like half clay, half God people. It's a weird kind of like off-kilter Rick and Morty, and I dug it. What'd you think?
Man, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at this, I'm going, okay, there's some good jokes. I feel it, you know, is it, there are personal attacks in here on me as someone who for a living commentates on television shows. I have to imagine they would apply this label of unproductives to themselves as well.
Yeah,
being, you know, purveyors of entertainment, certainly not a thing that needs to happen. Something that we enjoy happening though, perhaps. I felt that. I felt somehow some sympathy for Jerry when Summer mercilessly cuts into him, like a brief moment, and it's
brutal.
Yeah, it's, you know, I this thing made me feel a lot of weird emotions that I don't know how to like reconcile.
Did your dad ever force you to go camping?
Just, you know, generally like a commentary on modern society.
Yeah. Did your dad ever make you go camping?
I've been camping once or twice. Yeah.
Were you forced to? Because I think that's the key. Because I,
if I was Morty's age, I probably wouldn't have felt forced. If I was Summer's age, I probably would have.
Interesting.
There's like a 2-year period in there where my opinion on camping totally changed.
Huh. Yeah. Because I always liked camping. I always liked outdoor stuff. But it's funny because my parents never took me camping ever.
Huh.
Yeah, like my first time camping essentially came as an adult. Like I was like 30 years old, and on a whim, I was looking for something to do with my son. I saw there was like a discount clearance on tents at like Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm like, you know what? I always wanted to go camping. I wish my dad took me camping. Got a tent and kind of fell in love.
Nice.
It's weird though, because like it's one of those things where I'm not going to try to sell anyone on camping, because like I don't really understand why I like it too. Like I recognize that it's inconvenient and it's primitive and you smell bad.
Uncomfortable.
And it's a lot of discomfort, but it's something where like the sum of the experience is greater than the whole parts.
You do feel, I mean, that's true of like a lot of things that are hard. You know, camping is not easy, certainly. But I feel like learning is the same way. Like, okay, learning is not easy, but once you've learned something and mastered it, it feels so fucking good, right?
Yeah.
It just feels like you have control of something.
I don't know. It feels like, you know, it's like camping for me is like you hear about those thunder vests for dogs, like the constrict, you know, it's like or cats, or a weighted blanket, I guess, for people. Uh-huh. It kind of makes it. That's what it does for me psychologically. It's like,
yeah,
this is stupid and I'm not equipped by modern life to do this, but somehow this feels right. Like cooking over this fire and waking up and smelling meat roasting over fire. That's feels like it's right in some kind of cosmic way.
Everything else about it's
bullshit. Yeah.
I feel like you can get the best parts of camping in your backyard. All you got to do, set up a little fire pit, go roast some, you know, hot dogs, cook some s'mores, enjoy campfire discussions with your friends and drinking beers, and then go inside and sleep on a mattress made for a human being.
Dude, when I lived in the suburbs, I did that a lot with my son. We camped in our backyard. Yeah. And I agreed with you until I got in this fucking hiking bullshit and like this kayaking bullshit. And now it's like, well, it's also a nice base camp for like doing all the other bullshit bong rip of nature that's going on too. Yeah,
that's true. And especially, but, you know, if you end up getting lost, you know, maybe you fall into perhaps a river trying to skip stones or something and find yourself in the wilderness. It's a good skill to have, you know.
Well, see, that's what's wild about this episode is I thought they were gearing up to make the joke that like Jerry is like everything else. He's just a faker, you know, like he's like a fucking I don't know. What would you call like he buys all of his camping equipment out of the Sharper Image catalog.
Yeah.
You know, it's all space age telescoping wiener roasts. And if you're out in the real shit, you're not going to be able to start a fire. Uh-huh. And he can't even skip a rock, right, Jim? He's going to try to teach his kids how to skip. He skips a rock. It's a boulder. He can't skip a boulder. No. He hits himself in the knee or the shin, falls in. You saw it happen. Mm-hmm. But then the man turns into fucking, you know, survival expert once he gets
Robinson
to this camp
Caruso.
Full of. Yeah, like someone shows some appreciation for his fucking s'mores and suddenly he's like rebuilding primitive technology over there. Mm-hmm. Did you see this coming out of Jerry?
You know, now you put it that way. No, definitely not.
Like he started fire by doing that wiggle and stick method. That's got to be the hardest way to start fire, in my opinion.
I can't
to
do
rub
it.
With your hands another stick against another stick till it catches fire. Like I can wrap my head around that shit that Tom Hanks did on Castaway. I can wrap my shit around like that fire bow.
Yeah.
But like just spinning your own fucking hands, what the hell? That generated nothing but blood for me. And this guy's making it work. There's something about Jerry in primitive like survival situations. The man comes alive.
Yeah, when the chips are down, I think Jerry has shown himself time and time again to actually be somebody who can handle himself.
Like he's a caveman in his bones, and modern society just like shackles him.
I think you hit on something deep and profound about Jerry.
And the other thing I thought was interesting is and we've seen Jerry without a shirt on before, haven't we?
Probably.
Do you ever remember them animating him having like man boob, like slightly man boobish pectorals and a little bit of like defined love handles and the back bacon region?
Definitely not. Is that an evolution?
Well, I'm wondering if he's like if they're trying to suggest that Jerry's starting to take like is he building up a little bit of pec, or are they just showing like they just consciously illustrating a dad bod, you know, like a realistic like gone to seed dad bod? It could go either way.
It could.
He could get in the Nautilus machine and the Bowflex and he's working his chest or you know, he's just eating a couple more bags of potato chips. I don't know.
He's got all that time. It depends on what you do with it.
I did love the camping original song again. I think this is like the third week in a row. Maybe every one this half season has had a like Dan Harmon original song to it. But I love that, especially the like, even if you hate camping, you got to go camping, because I feel like that's where you turn people into diehard anti-campers. Like you take a person that's at least not camping curious and you force them to go, and it's just fucking bullshit, man. So
you gotta get into the headspace of camping if you're gonna enjoy camping.
And I also love Jerry's like primitive phrases. Like in six days, he's whipped these people into this kind of like religious fervor. And he comes in and, you know, like Rick insults him about his being unemployed. He's like, his tongue is sharp, but it cannot whittle. The time of the great roughing it is at hand. You will now join the one family on its eternal getaway. Like I fucking love the casual world building the show does anytime they have to get primitive and very reminiscent of Morty's tree people dalliance he had in the multiverse episode.
Sure. I mean, they do this a lot, right? They take the face huggers from Aliens and they turn them into a society under, you know, Summer's rule. So like, mm-hmm. it seems like everybody in this house is capable of turning a society and molding a society in the direction yeah. it chooses to be fit.
You know, that's the other thing. You just made it seem like a very impressive accomplishment that I poo-pooed it in 6 days. But like, okay, Rick has built like a warp capable civilization in 6 days.
Oh yeah.
But Jerry's taken like a rough luck crew and turned them into a fully functional primitive society in the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. Like stacked against anyone else's accomplishments, he's a genius leader of men.
It seems like it. Yeah, he's a genius leader of a certain caliber of person.
Mm.
And that yeah. caliber is perhaps one notch on the ladder of success lower than he is. But Summer makes that point, essentially.
He's the alphaest of betas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. That what Summer said was, like you said, made me like sit up and feel sorry for Jerry, which I didn't think would ever happen.
Yeah, same here.
You set the bar like it's... You know, you take everything away from people and you set the bar that fucking low, you might feel like you're worth a fuck. Like, goddamn. Even Morty had to stick up for the old man.
Yeah, it felt bad. It felt wrong, that scene. I didn't like it, even though I'm not a fan of Jerry. But, you know, I don't...
Is it progress, though? Because he didn't... Most of the time, he would sulk and, like, be passive-aggressive and make it everyone else's problem.
Mm-hmm.
This, he just goes off in camp, says, fuck all you people.
Yeah. And then, you know, he comes back and he founds a society. And then at the end, he goes to Summer and says, you know what? You were right. You were right about that. He recognizes the flaws within himself. And I think that's certainly a first step toward fixing the flaws, is admitting mm-hmm. that you have them. But, you know, does anything ever really stick with these characters in this universe? I think it does. It's just, it takes a very long time because we don't have a lot of those reckonings.
I think it's realistic. It all snowballs, but the snow, this personal improvement snow just isn't very sticky. The dry, powdery snow, that personal improvement snow.
Uh-huh.
And it takes, you need a nice, wet, sticky ball to even have a hope of accumulating any of it. And these are dry, dry snowy balls, man, rolling down some fresh powder hills. I think
they sounded like sweaty, stinky ones to me. But
well, that's the other thing about camping is like, I think camping, if you do it as a couple, is an inherently kind of sexy activity. But boy, yeah, if you don't have access to regular showers and stuff, the romance. I don't know how our cave ancestors did it. Maybe they just got used to it. But the aroma after a week in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
Smells like you've been a week out in the bush.
Yeah, I guess you don't know any better if that's the best you got.
Yeah. Talk yourself into thinking that's a real that stink. Gotta mm-hmm. love that stink. Do you want to talk about Rick the fuckboy, or do you want to talk about Kids versus the World?
Kids versus the World. I'm curious what you got on that.
All right,
the video games are getting high.
I thought this was an interesting statement from the show about its kind of cockeyed view of how you would raise or should raise children, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, there's the don't let them experience anything, keep them very safe until they become adults and they're able to handle responsibility versus, you know, maybe kids should be able to get in age appropriate trouble and have to run back to the safety of home and every once in a while be humbled, because otherwise, you know, you got wild shit that happens. I thought this, I don't know, I thought it was kind of an interesting back and forth about that. And speaking of dry balls accumulating some personal insight snow along the way, I feel like Morty and Summer had a little bit of a breakthrough about like, oh my God, am I scared straight? Oh fuck, I think I scared myself straight. And like Grandpa comes in and is like, we did wrong. We played video games, got high, we did wrong. And he comes in and just completely destroys the moral lesson there.
Yeah.
I fucking love it when he does, and you don't see it very often, but Rick has this like pigeon language he speaks with, this like vaguely Yiddish. Like he calls them babushkas or whatever. Okay. Baba, no, you know, sum, no. Every once in a while, he broke out the little kid baby talk and fuck your mom, your dad, they're dicks. You know, getting high and play video games, it's just the best. oh my God, you're inhaling brake fluid. Let me do it. I don't know.
I kept looking for the come up on that con, or at least that's how I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, this is not like Rick to be this cool. But then it never really comes. The only change up they throw here is that he immediately sells them out. But I feel like he's not changing, you know, sort of the lesson that he taught them before, which is, you know, you can save the world getting high and playing video games.
Right.
Or at least save your grandfather that way. He's simply just, you know, reneging on his promise. So.
Yeah. And also there's this idea that he will praise to the moon whatever is responsible. Like he almost gets like this religious fervor when he's about to, when he's in circumstances where he might die, and it makes him like briefly this like very grateful, like bubbly, effuse person. And he's all about like whatever it was the kids did to save him in this instant. And then, you know, next week he'll be bitching about this video game's rotting your brain, Morty. You go out there and create a universe. You're sitting here fucking paying some goddamn raccoon shells or bells or whatever the fuck you're doing on this island. Like, come on. Then just how like he has no moral principle, because he's like, yeah, and your grandpa will never sell you out. You've learned this valuable lesson. And he sells him out for so cheap a coin.
Yeah.
It's like Jerry got a single point on him
in
the game board of life, and that sent him over the edge of betrayal.
And it's so fucking toxic. It's so toxic. It's like, I don't know. He's still the same old Rick, right? He's been doing this from episode one of season one, just driving a wedge into this family. Particularly between, you know, Beth and Jerry, and he's still at it. You know, he's been humbled to the point, or he should have been humbled to the point, after essentially his family left him, and he had to go sacrifice them to get them out of the trouble that he caused. He should have taken a hint there, but he comes back this season just as much of a wedge in this family as he ever was.
Yeah, just
it's disappointing.
From a whole brand new angle of it too. He's looking to wedge in new cracks. Yeah.
Well, I think the most disappointing thing is that Beth doesn't, if she sees it, she's not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And she has in the past, like there have been times when she's put her foot down.
Are you doing what I think you're doing? Are you flopping the Beth got replaced by an android last season dick on the table now, Jim?
I wasn't planning to, but now that
flopping
you
flopping it out there.
Now that you mention it, I don't know.
Yeah, she is a lot more chill about a lot of things, but it also could be just like, I think, you know, there's a point in the last year or two where my son's kind of converted from, you know, proto-teenager to teenager, where I'm like started to get like upset about things he was planning on doing, or like, well, I don't know about my, I'm like, hey, you know what? This is an age appropriate activity. Okay. Yeah, sure. All right. I'm not going to get upset about this. And I wonder if like, you know, Morty's 14 now, Beth is 16, going on 17, whatever she is, she's going to be out. Like, I wonder if Beth is kind of like, you know, I'm kind of done. Maybe I didn't do the best job, maybe I didn't do the worst job, but like my actual hardcore parenting is just about behind me. My dad's a fucking God level genius. Fuck it. You know? So she could be unnaturally chill. She could be replaced by an android.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if that relationship between Jerry and Beth survives the kids growing up. And I don't know that we'll ever see it in this show, because they're perpetually whatever age they were when we started. But
yeah,
it's an interesting question.
I think Jerry kind of impressed her at the end of it. I think she would have been down to bone him. It just that he stank like
there are, you know, a few times that he does that. Right. Like, I remember that one where her vet counterpart turned into a mantis and Jerry busts
in
and beats him to death. Like there are several times where Jerry's done that. And that's what we mean, I think, when we're talking about Jerry, when the chips are down, being a stand-up guy, being able to handle himself.
Yeah, he digs deep, but like it's weird, like the things he picks, because like he'll also let a drunken hobo with a broken wine bottle come at Beth and push her down in route to get in the car and locking the door behind him, like,
right.
You know, but like xenomorphs, he'll get up for that.
And I don't think it's
world's
a healthy,
getting Cronenberg. Yeah,
I don't think it's a healthy relationship for Jerry to literally only be a decent person when the chips are fully That's on true. The table. Like, right. you can't wait until the last possible second to rescue a relationship and then say, oh, look what a great relationship we have. That doesn't make a good relationship. That makes a relationship that is clinging desperately to life support.
Yeah.
And anything could break it.
Yeah. It's like you're playing a poker and you refuse to do anything but fold unless, like, you get the million to one odd and then it's all fucking chips in. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know, you gotta take some of the riskier side bets. You gotta get skin in the game all the time, Jerry. There's a couple things I want to kind of pivot on this because there's an interesting question if Beth is replaced. It recontextualizes the scene of like her and her father reveling at right creating this society together and him showing genuine pride in her as a child. Like, does like, although I guess it would be interesting if he just got so drunk and high over the intervening months that he forgot that he replaced her with a perfect android replica.
Uh-huh.
But so I guess, yeah, it's like, that'd be weird. But I'm like, you know what? Just like the show for her to come back like 3 years later, like, you know, fucking Doc Brown, you know, out of Back to the Future One's ending, like she steps out and she's in some kind of DeLorean and she's wearing space clothes and he's like, oh fuck, I forgot I replaced you 3 years ago or whatever.
Yeah,
like I could see a season starting with that and nobody batting an eye. Mm-hmm. But two things before we move off from the kids of the world. I really thought the actual anticlimactic where the kid's like, yeah, I'm gonna huff this alien hookah and I want to pretend like this is a game, like a PlayStation controller, and it's just all going to work.
Uh-huh.
Like, happens, like, we see this shit all, like, fucking Jurassic, a movie of no less stature than Jurassic Park pulls this shit.
Yep.
With Lex saying, it's fucking Unix, I know this. And she's going to master this multi-million-dollar system, you know, custom fucking Dennis Nedry thing.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's so funny that the wings shoot off, and it, like, and you're thinking that's the joke. And then the actual joke is it takes off out of control.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And then ends up blowing God's brains out. It's just, what a comic moment. Let's talk about the Rick the fuckboy.
Okay.
So Rick, between this and the stinger, Rick likes his sexual companions big.
Yeah.
Hefty.
Yeah. How does he feel about gas giants?
You know, I think he likes some cloudy there. Jim. That is something with Rick because, like, it seems like he's really attracted to things that are larger than himself.
Yeah.
Like, Unity, again, he's fucking an entire planet. He's literally fucking a planet now.
Mm-hmm.
He's all about their holes in their ozone layers and all that other stuff.
Loves it.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. What is the significance of these half demigod, half Gaian things popping out? What's the significance of them saying I am as they're shooting out the guy's virginal or not the vaginal canal?
I mean, we talked a little bit about this before the cast, and we, you know, basically said maybe this is some generically philosophical idea of just what it means to be a being, an intelligent being.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's like a sort of stuff.
It's a good shorthand for, like, maybe there's a writer's room question. Like, why should the... Because I almost thought that, like, when these things just kind of, like, shooting out and they look like they're clay dolls and they're breaking on the ground, my first thought is like, oh, well, these aren't even alive or real things, or this is just some kind of weird shit. But when they stand up and start saying, I am, is that the fastest shorthand possible to be like, oh, no, these are actually conscious thinking creatures
that are fully
realized and kind of ready to go?
Yeah.
Is this a dig at God? The whole Rick creating this spacefaring civilization in 6 days, six creative days.
I hadn't even thought about that. I was thinking more about the societal part of it than the like religion versus science stuff. Although that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a fair question.
I thought it was a little bit of a shot fired. It's got to be a God
joke.
I mean,
there are a lot of shots fired at God. A lot of punches
thrown.
That's true.
A lot of
ball kicks.
A lot of ball kicks. I want to talk about, God shows up and like kicks Rick's ass, which the whole time when this happened the first time, I'm like, when is Rick going to bring out the galaxy ending gun and just take him out? But Rick actually does like to sometimes settle things mano a mano. This is like the Stephen Colbert multi-universe guy.
Yep.
This was the devil. Of course, he actually, you know, took time to plan. But this, he just decided to throw down with God, and he got his ass kicked.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've questioned, you know, like, what's the power scale of Rick? Is he on the God scale? It appears that he is not on the God scale.
But see, I think he just decided to fight him straight up. Like, I think he could kill God, this God. You don't think he could?
Well, I wouldn't have thought that until a spaceship through the head did it. And then I'm thinking, oh, well, this guy's far more mortal than we thought he was.
Yeah. Like, Rick didn't have an energy field or some kind of anti-God gun, or he found the guy's power source. Like, I thought that was going to be, you know, I didn't see Rick getting his ass kicked by an off-brand Yahweh. Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely going with the science versus faith. And it ties in, you know, with a lot of different questions about our society and our responsibility toward the planet and, you know, the planet's reaction to our presence, things like that. There's just a ton of that. It's a big mixing bowl full of that stuff. And to the point where I don't even know that they're making a statement because there are so many things they're saying. Although I get a general feeling from this episode that they are, you know, generally undesirables or unproductives is what they call them, are not something to be thrown away because this shit will come back on you. That kind of thing.
Right. Right. Plus, we need, you know, if ever it's like, you know, all work and no play makes Jack a dull, dull boy. You turn into axe wielding homicidal Jack Nicholson's with that kind of policy. You need the do nothingers that sit and talk about Rick and Morty on podcasts and society, or else we just clog up your shithole and you don't want that.
And then they come back and they, you know, start trying to tear down the thing that the deemed productives are doing. And that's not good for anybody. And then, you know, you get so productive at some point that the planet just gets pissed off at you for, you know, killing any connection that humans have with nature whatsoever. Yeah. And it kicks you off the planet, destroys everything you worked for. So, like, there's some kind of balance that you need there.
You're exactly right. And I like some of the social engineering jokes they're doing. Like filtering out humans into three basic categories, round, flat, or middle earthers.
It was good.
And then like the whole idea of like we have a surplus of like elementary school English teachers, shunt them into the playwright path by paddling their asses and then sending them into some kind of, I don't know, hellscape of disapproving parents and authority figures. And
they're really going hard on the incest porn this season too. The joke know, where like the therapists are getting bored, give more incest porn, and Beth says 20% wasn't enough.
Yeah, no shit, man. Well, how much is it with the? Well, we're gonna get into the feedback. It's a lot of thirsty fucking degenerates out there. It turns out. Also, savage burn on online colleges, right? Like
I missed it. What was that?
They're saying like you know, like you can't keep circling these undesirables into the system. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to implement the online college option to keep them occupied. And she goes, or you could just shoot them out of tube and back. And they're like, ah, same thing.
Wow.
So my question to you is, in 2020, I know that there was a lot of, and rightfully so, there's a lot of disparagement about online education. Lack of accreditation, whether it's actually worth the money you can spend on it, whether it's actually is it a scam, or whether it's just taking money for it. And I feel like that, like, so like online dating used to be heavily stigmatized, still a little bit today. But on the other hand, online dating's responsible for like this awesome badass relationship I've had for the last 10 years.
It's so, same, you know, here.
Suck a dick if you don't like online dating. Is online, because like there's nothing inherently wrong with the idea of online education. It might be the wave of the future. Is it just like,
yeah, it's
like a 2030, this is gonna age like milk, and like, what the fuck, you can get an MIT degree without ever stepping out of your door, you know?
I think that's gonna be the case soon enough. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with online education. I think it's slightly more difficult maybe for certain subjects. I'm a very hands-on learner. Like I like
for different learning types.
Like, how do you learn how to build anything online? Like, you can know everything you need to know about, you know, how things fit together and all the principles for its motion, but how are you going to engineer, how are you going to feel something and how to engineer it by just learning a bunch of stuff online? You got to do it. And that's tougher.
So it's like a fit of material, fit of the person too, you know, because not everyone's like a self-starting like self-engaging learner either.
But you know, mathematics, philosophy, stuff like that, you could certainly learn online. I don't see any reason why you couldn't.
But it does seem like there's a lot of shady outfits there willing to separate people from their money with very little reward. So do your own fucking head work, homework and head work and all that other stuff. Because shit, I don't know. I'm 43. Online colleges weren't even a thing when I matriculated out of that system. So
before we get out of here, I got one last thing I want to talk about. It's a little bit meta, but it's a question I have. Every time I go to Amazon and I look at the descriptions of these episodes, I think, is Amazon going to continue for six more seasons this bro joke in their descriptions where every sentence ends with bro? Because it's already far past its expiration date,
I think that's Justin Roiland and writing them all and insisting. I think he thinks that this is like a funny bit that he's committing to. This is essentially a stoner college bro trying to tell their buddies about the show they just watched. Oh, bro, wait, you see this with bro? They got the whole family in it, brah.
It feels like Amazon's got an intern, a 20-year-old intern, who is literally a stoner kid in college writing these things. And are they going to do it for six more years?
Yeah. They want you to huff alien brake fluid and have these descriptions make sense.
Look, I'm all for huffing alien brake fluid. I just don't like these descriptions.
They're not very helpful. Not very helpful. Shall we transition to feedback?
Yeah, let's do it.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering The Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Well, if you'd like to send us feedback, it's easy to do. You just go to your email client or your browser and say rickandmorty@baldmove.com. Put in some stuff in the box, hit send, boom, we'll get it. Some people took us up there, and I just want to read a statement that's been authorized by our content team, a prepared statement. Jim, let's just say that there was a vibe through the feedback, and that vibe was you guys are just kind of a bunch of former Christian cult prudes, people talking about fucking hot sisters, dads, brothers, mothers, cousins, aunts, etc. We do that all the time. I had no idea there's this many thirsty people out there horned up about their friends, family members. Mm-hmm. And there are some just no boundary having people out there, and God love you, one and all. I confess, I have thought a buddy's mom has been hot. I've liked a buddy's sister or three. Mm-hmm. I have never once gone up to my buddy and said, "Hey man, your fucking mom, that dump truck ass, call me a Pixar exec because I'm buying." Like, I'm not concerned that you think your buddy's sister's hot. I'm just like, why are you making it his problem? That's my thing.
That's a good point. Yeah, because he does nothing with that, right? Like, the best he does with that is side eye you every time,
like
you come
summer.
Over.
Yeah, like summer. Like, Tammy, is that why you're here? Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like your buddy says your sister's hot. The next play is like, you want me to set you up? Like, do you want me to tell you all the disgusting reasons you shouldn't be in love with her? Like, I can fucking remember when this, you know, this is a mess. This is a full blown mess that I'm living with here. I don't know. Anyway, yeah,
I'm
like
with
I said,
you.
I love you. I just think that like maybe leave the family member out of the discussion of how much you want a bone. But you know, that's just me. I was raised in a cult, bit of a prude. Brob came in with another kind of herned up email, said, "As a listener who's been listening since I was in the eighth grade, you guys have shaped how my developing mind has enjoyed media."
No.
So arguably we're at fault with whatever proportionally with whatever comes next. Says, "Now I'm a sophomore in college. I can verify that this porn thing Morty's talking about in the last episode was spot on. I have a close relationship with a couple friends, both male and female, who make separate Snapchat stories filled with their porn that they've seen and enjoyed. It's actually kind of interesting sometimes to see what people are into."
Hmm.
"Anyway, hope I make the show and have a good day." You made the show. You made my day. You know, there's people out there afraid of this future, Jim.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I can't.
Like, go ahead. I mean, I just want to defend my prudishness here. And I realize it's prudishness. Like, yeah. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. However, if there's one fucking thing throughout my childhood that was hammered into my head, is that sex outside of marriage is bad, period. and that the weirder it gets, the worse it is. The incest porn is just fucking, I mean, that today is still a standard that I live up to. I'm not interested in that whatsoever.
Agreed.
So,
it's
like,
perplexing. I think it's probably long-term probably bad for society, but, you know.
Yeah. I guess I'm glad you came through the gauntlet of our prudish upbringings in your ears for years since you were a child. Mm-hmm. And actually did not have that prudishness sink into you. I guess I'm proud of that. So good job on you for that.
There's a lot of sexual hall monitors out there.
Want to
blow the whistle and give you a write up for, you know, getting out of the vanilla missionary position lane. And that's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably people who can't fucking get enough of that stuff. But none of this hall monitor shit. All right. Let's move on to a non-herned up email. Severin. His email had quite the introduction, Jim. Severin, too, has been a long term listener. Since our early leftover days, at least, and he disclosed that he has common cause with us because he is a former Jehovah's Witness, raised that way in a way like herself. Man's got some real beef with the man upstairs, so let's just say that.
Well, me too.
So that's the intro to all this. He says, "When Rick fought God, I about lost my shit. That's a fight I've wanted to have since I was a little kid. I'd beg my mom when she would say no. I'd pray to God that if I'm good, can I please get the latest and greatest Ninja Turtle action figure? Answer still no. You can't have Ninja Turtles as a Jehovah's Witness.
On. What do you want? Like, Ghostbusters?
They're fucking evolved from turtles. That's a science no. And then they're like ninja, mystical, Eastern religion. That's all weird. Mm-hmm. No on that too. It's a two pronged assault against God there.
Yeah, violence Severin. Too.
And violence, there's the third leg. You can't stand against that. Or how about the times I'd pray for the smallest sign of anything to let me know that someone was listening? I prayed from my heart, from my brain, out loud, in my mind, but nothing. This makes me want to fight that imaginary person in the sky. I guess I just need to be the smartest person in the universe to accomplish that goal. Either that or get into comedy and storytelling to make it happen. That mm-hmm. Although even the smartest person in the universe got their ass handed to him by God. So
it's true.
That stings. He's 1-0 versus the devil, 0-1 against an off-brand Yahweh. So that's interesting.
Guess we've got our power rankings developing, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to be able to, man, by the time you get all 10 seasons out, the Who Kicks Who guide will be amazing. He says, the second half of the season has been great. I'm going to be sad when it's off for a while, but that gives us room to rewatch and pick up concepts we may have missed the first few times. I agree. This show is a pretty good, rewarding rewatch. And I think the second half has been pretty consistently good. Like, I think so, three all-time greats and a solid episode, and we still got the finale to go, which, you know, are we going to get some dread continuity again?
Maybe.
Said, overall, the fact that Morty and Summer killed God by accident made my day. Just thinking of an all-knowing being get killed by accident was a thing of beauty. And, of course, the post-credit scene of Planets Only Porn, what Planets was saying was hilarious. Young, dumb, and orbiting the sun. Great episode from start to finish.
And I think there's something about that, you know, the way they accidentally kill God being in an alien uh-huh. spaceship. I feel like they're saying something with that.
Yeah.
Like, when we find other sentient life in the universe, are we really going to still cling to this concept? But maybe not. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
It answers the age-old question raised by James Tiberius Kirk
right.
in Star Trek V. What does God need with a starship?
Uh-huh.
Nothing. He should stay the fuck away from Starship. Starship, number one leading cause of quasi-deities in this shard of the finite probability curve. That's it for the feedback this week. Thanks for everybody sending in stuff. All you herned up people out there, you can send in feedback to Rick and Morty at baldmove.com. We'll be back next week for the finale episode. Can't wait to see what it's all about and discuss it with you. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.
Pickle Me This is distributed and produced by Bald Move. All music featured on this podcast is from the Rick and Morty soundtrack, available from Sub Pop Records. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To discover the many other great shows we do, please check out baldmove.com. If you appreciate what we do and want to directly support us, consider joining our club at club.baldmove.com to get access to exclusive bonus audio and video features. Finally, you can follow us on your favorite social media at Bald Move. See you next time.